Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Even though she's not yet 25, in some ways my guest, Nastia Liukin, has already led several lives and has done so on the world stage. Born into an elite gymnastics family, she put a life's worth of training into a memorable performance at the 2008 Olympics in Beijing, where she won 5 medals, including the all-around gold. She's been on the Wheaties box and started a clothing line. She's covered the Olympics as a special correspondent for NBC and launched business ventures, including a growing eponymous gymnastics cup. And she's now studying sports management at NYU after retiring from competition 2 years ago. Born in Russia and raised in Texas, Liukin has her eye on the 2016 Games in Rio. But first, she's here in our studios. Nastia Liukin, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks for having me.
What is it that brings you to our region?
Well, I'm excited to be here in Albany today on behalf of Liberty Mutual, and I'm excited to be going to visit the office today and just get everybody excited about the Olympic Games. As you said, we're just about 2 years out from the Rio Olympics, and you know, it's funny because I feel like I was just in Sochi covering for NBC, and then all of a sudden we turn the page and we're in Rio. So the excitement is definitely building, and it's an exciting time, I think, for so many of us, and whether you're an athlete, a fan, or somebody in the media, whatever it is that you do, it's a very exciting time.
You've been on all sides of this now, but if you were training and you were 2 years out from the next Olympics, what would your average day be like at this point?
Pretty much the same. My training schedule did not change, whether it was 2 years before the Olympics or 10 years before. I trained 7 hours a day, 6 days a week. So I would wake up about 6 o'clock in the morning, eat breakfast, go for our morning run, and then train from 8 to 12 in the morning. I went to school from 12:30 to 3. Then I trained again from 3:30 to 6:30. Went home, did homework, ate dinner, went to bed, and did it all over again. So Sundays were our only days off. And you know, as we got closer to competition, though, I do remember going into the gym occasionally on Sunday and just kind of getting in those last extra routines or preparations or whatever it is that I needed to do.
Were there ever times where you're like, I don't want to do the training today?
You know, I think that's what was really important was, of course, there were those times where it got tough and, you know, maybe if you had an injury or something. But I remember when I was really young, my mom always told me to never quit after a bad day. And that's something that really stuck to me because, of course, everybody's going to have bad days, whether you're training for the Olympics or it's just at your job or whatever it is that you're doing. And you come home and you just want to throw your hands up in the air and say, I quit. And she always told me that I had to go back after a bad day. And whether it took me 2 days, 3 days, a week to have a good day, that I had to keep going back until then. And so I remember coming home after a good day and she's like, all right, you know, we're, you know, if you want to quit, that's fine. I'll register you in public school. You know, we'll kind of have a normal life now. And I was like, no. I promise I'm fine. I don't want to quit. So, you know, I think that kind of saved me a few times. But my parents also really taught me at an early age to set goals for myself. And that's, I think, what's really important is to always know and feel like you're striving to achieve something and not just a long-term basis like the Olympics, because as we know, like from here until Rio, it's still 2 years away, which is, you know, quite a long time, but it's important to have those daily, weekly, monthly goals so you really feel like you're striving to achieve something.
I want to pick up on something you just said, which is that you have one kind of, I don't know, 10 days circled on the calendar for 4 years that you're looking at.
Yeah.
But, you know, you were competing in nationals and mm-hmm. worlds. There's always a lot of competition leading up to, you know, the stuff that everyone pays attention to.
Right.
When you have that kind of Olympic goal on the horizon, how do you stay focused on a weekend competition mm-hmm. that's now 18 months away or something?
Right. You know, it is difficult because I think also as a gymnast, you know, I think all Olympic athletes is obviously difficult, but as a gymnast, you are so young and you're going through all these things at such a young age. I mean, I was at my first world championships, I think I was 15 years old. And, you know, at that point, it's like, I know I was talking to a friend last week and they were like, you know, at that age, you're trying to figure out, most girls are trying to figure out what color nail polish you want to wear. And, you know, you're trying to make these decisions of whether or not to go professional and have sponsors and be able to travel the country and represent your country. And so it's a little difficult, but I think for me, it was always important to just take it one day at a time. And as cliche as that sounds, I think that's the only thing that really got me to where I needed to be to compete at the Olympic Games, because it is so overwhelming when you think about it as, okay, the Olympics are, you know, 568, I'm not giving you an exact number, but however many days away. And when you think about it like that, then you start thinking that's like 10 beam routines a day. So times seven, you know, and you really start going a little bit crazy. And so I think it's really important to think about it as just one day at a time, and not to forget that you're doing it because you love it. And I think that's what was important to me too, was I started gymnastics, and yeah, of course, my parents were Olympic and world champions, and that's probably why I really got started into it, but they never pushed me into it. I did it because I had passion for it, and that passion, you know, remained, you know, it's still in my heart, because I love gymnastics. Obviously, I'm not competing anymore, but it's important to have that passion, that love for the sport, because then, you know, you're doing it because you love it, not because you feel like you have to do it or someone's making you do it.
I read somewhere you said that you finally could walk into a gym and feel like the person you are now, and not like you were out there competing. But do you have that itch at all, you know, knowing there's another Olympics on the horizon?
Honestly,
it's a young person's game at this point.
It really is. And it's, in gymnastics, you really peak when you're between 16 and 18. And I was almost 19 at the Olympics that I competed in. So I was already like one of the old, old girls.
Isn't
on the
weird?
Team. It is so strange. You know, and so I don't have the itch to necessarily get back in a leotard and compete at the Olympic Games and train 7 hours a day, 6 days a week again. But I do miss performing. You know, I think it's that part of me is still inside. And I think, you know, just walking into an arena with 20,000 people cheering for you or booing for you, who knows, you know, but
did that ever happen?
It did. We had an international competition one time, and that was like a first experience for all of us. And we just like looked at each other, not knowing what to think, not knowing what to do. But I know we all like kind of huddled together, and we're like, let's just pretend that they're cheering. You know, we're not in the U.S. It's a different country. So we'll pretend that them booing means they're just cheering for us. And so it was just this mentality of, you know, kind of flipping it around. And you know, I think that's part of traveling. That's part of the experience, that, you know, competing for your country and competing in different places that you learn.
How do you like being on the media side of it? You know, the Winter Olympics, a different experience for you altogether for a lot of reasons. But, you know, now that you're, you know, in the press box, it's got to be a different viewpoint.
It's definitely very different. I think for me, I was never really shy or timid when I had to do interviews or be kind of on the spotlight or in, I guess, doing TV interviews or anything. So I think it's become something that, yeah, of course, I don't have as much experience on this side of things as I, you know, have had in competing in gymnastics. But I think that also comes with experience. And every time that I'm on camera or, you know, commentating for NBC, I learn something new. And I have some really great mentors that I've worked with that have been in this industry for so many years that have really helped me. And that has been very great. And, you know, actually yesterday I was just in like a 5-hour session with one of our directors of just going over film from our last competition and just critiquing it. And that's something that I'm used to. I'm used to being in the gym 7 hours a day and having somebody critique every single move that you do. And not just one routine where you say, yep, that was good, or, you know, not so good. You know, I'm used literally like down to every single arm movement and like toe point or whatever it is. So, you know, it's great to have somebody that can, you know, stop you after every single sentence and kind of tell you their thoughts. And so that's been really great. But I also think because I still have that passion, that love for the sport of gymnastics, that I really enjoy it. And it doesn't feel like a job. While, you know, it is kind of my job and has become my somewhat of a career, I just love being there. I love being able to sit in the booth, and it's like you have a front row seat at the competition, and you're able to have so many different camera angles on the screen in front of you. And then being able to travel to Sochi and, you know, cover the Winter Olympics, which, to be honest, I don't really know many of the winter sports. So it was fun, though, because I got to do more of the lifestyle aspect to the Olympic Games. And I was born in Russia, right. So I had never been to Sochi. So it was kind of like exploring it, you know, for myself as well. And I got to interview a lot of the athletes and just get to know them and get to know the sports a little bit better. So it was really fun.
You don't get a lot of chances to kind of grab the ring in this life, and you have won a gold medal and several other medals. Do you ever think about, you know, how your life might be different had you not had a good day in Beijing? You know what I mean?
I do. It's funny because now my life, of course, days like this, and, you know, I actually have my medal with me today. So I think it's like days like that that I really think about it.
You bring it with you?
Yeah. Well, I did just for this appearance specifically, just because, you know, what's really cool is Liberty Mutual actually started insuring the Olympic medal starting in Sochi and leading towards, obviously, in Rio. But, you know, I remember thinking, darn, I wish I could have competed in Sochi or Rio, because to have my medal insured, it's a little scary traveling with it, because that's not something that you can just replace. So,
no.
but you know, having that magical day in Beijing to me is still surreal. I think back at it and I don't think about it very often because my life is very different now, and I'm in school full time. I'm traveling so much, and I don't really think about that Olympic moment very often. And but when I do, it's this moment of pride and honor, and I'm, you know, I'll forever be proud of that moment. But I think it's a little crazy to think that one little, you know, your pinky toe could have slipped off that 4 inches of balance beam and my life could have been so much different. It's kind of scary to think that, so I try not to think that a lot. But I also believe, you know, hard work definitely pays off, and everything happens for a reason, and I was able to do what I did in Beijing. And then 4 years later, you know, I did compete at the Olympic trials, didn't quite make that Olympic team, fell off the bar, face planted in front of 20,000 people, and then got up into a standing ovation, my first standing ovation in my entire career. And I think that moment there also just made me realize so much about life. And, you know, winning an Olympic gold medal is the most amazing feeling when you're standing there listening to the national anthem. But that moment really only made me realize that hard work pays off. And the moment that I had in San Jose in 2012 at Olympic trials was just, you know, it made me realize so much about life and the fact of, you know, getting up and finishing what you started, and, you know, how to kind of handle yourself in times of disappointment. And, you know, that's not always fun with the cameras in front of your face when all you want to do is, you know, curl up in a ball and have tears flowing down your face. And but I think that moment also made me be able to relate to so many other people, because not many people can relate to winning a gold medal at the Olympic Games, but people can relate to disappointments and failures and not achieving what they want and really literally getting up and finishing what you started. And, you know, for me, it was finishing that routine and going on to the next event and finishing that when I knew I had absolutely no chance of making that Olympic team that year. And but I was doing it because I loved it, and I wanted to go out there and finish. And, you know, and a few people told me, you really don't need to do this. Like, you know, we don't want you to get hurt. Why don't you just walk off and be done with it? And but I didn't want to. I didn't want to end my gymnastics career that way. And to end with 2 standing ovations of, you know, almost 20,000 people each time has kind of left me with that, you know, heartwarming feeling of my gymnastics career.
You're doing other stuff now, and you're in college. was it something of a relief to be done competing?
I guess yes and no. You know, I think it was some sort of a relief in the sense of not having to train 7 hours a day,
sure,
6 days a week.
You keep bringing that 7 hours a day up. I'm sure that's
because, you know, and I think because now that I don't do it, I realize, and my days are so hectic and so busy, I can't imagine training for that long now, because
right,
it's like I every single day I'm like, okay, how can I squeeze in just an hour of working out just for myself, you know, not being an Olympic athlete anymore. But I think I'm also able to do so many other things and go to school full time, travel the world, and meet new people and have new experiences that, you know, I really wasn't able to do when I was training and competing at the Olympic Games. And there's obviously a time and place for everything, so I don't regret a single day that I spent in the gym. And, you know, I think a lot of parents also ask me if I missed out on my childhood. And for me, I almost want to laugh at that, because it's like I got to experience so many amazing things at such a young age that people don't even get to experience in their whole entire lives. And, you know, I made the junior national team when I was 12 years old. So starting to represent my country at that age and traveling the world, representing the country and winning medals, and between that and then just little things like learning how to do your own laundry when you're 12 years old, you know, it just really set my life up to be very independent and very goal oriented. And yeah, so I really don't feel like I missed out. And I also remember, you know, telling myself, it's like, I can go to the mall or have sleepovers with friends or, you know, all these things when I grow up and, you know, have a normal life. And so looking back at it, it's just like, I don't regret a single day.
Speaking of booing, you threw out the first pitch at a couple of places this year, and that can be really dangerous if you don't throw a strike. How do you get ready for something like that?
Oh, gosh. It's so funny because I threw it out at the Mets game and then at Pittsburgh. Literally 3 days later, my friend texted me and was like, are you on like a first pitch world tour? Like, are you just going to keep going? And I didn't prepare for it. I got so many tweets from, you know, it was 50 Cent, hit, like videos of his first pitch. And then, you know, I grew up in Texas, so Miss Texas had a not very good first pitch. So I had a lot of tweets saying, as long as you, you know, don't do one of these two, you'll be fine. I'm like, no pressure. And it's funny for me because that's, you know, I don't really throw baseballs all that much. And the first time I did it right after 2008 Olympics for the Texas Rangers, my dad made me practice, being the coach that he is.
Sure.
He made me like go in our backyard. He got like, and he didn't, there's like, wasn't baseball growing up in Russia. So he didn't even know the rules. So he like got a tape measuring and like made me Google how far the distance was. And he like made me practice every day for like almost a month. And I'm like, okay, dad, I think I have it. But it's been like 3 or 4 years since, you know, I did that. So I remember I like called him. I told him, he's like, did you practice? And I'm like, not really. And he was like, okay. He was like, then just, you know, just remember what we did. And I'm like, dad, that was like 5 years ago. So it was fun. A lot of the players, when I got to the field, some of the players from both of the teams, they kind of gave me some pointers and some tips. So, yeah.
2016, how are we looking?
Good. Yeah. You know, it's like I said, we just had our national championships a few weeks ago. So that's always kind of a great little preview. We're exactly 2 years out now, and the World Championships are in China. I think I leave in about a week and a half. And so that'll be exciting because last year there was no team event for gymnastics. So this is kind of going to be the first preview as we get closer and closer towards Rio. But at the same time, there's also a few really great, promising up-and-coming juniors that we saw this year compete that, you know, weren't at the senior level, so they're not age eligible to compete this year, but they will be age eligible at the Rio Olympics. So we won't really even see them, maybe not even next year. Some of them, of course, next year, but then it'll really be 2016 that we'll have a really good picture of, you know, kind of who can make that team. And of course, Simone Biles, who is back-to-back national champion. She won the World Championships in the all-around just last fall, and she's going to hopefully get that title again. And as of right now, she is the best in the world. Like, there is nobody that can touch her, which is very crazy because, you know, I remember in 2008 there was so many great gymnasts, and even in 2012, you know, the field was a lot bigger. And so I think for her to set herself so far apart from everybody else, I remember I had to interview her, and I remember how does that feel? You walk away from a competition and you win by 6 points. Like, that is almost unheard of. And of course it was a 2-day competition, but you know, I remember at the Olympic Games in 2008, I won by 0.6 of a point. And I think that was the largest margin in history to this date. So looking at her, I'm just thinking that just puts me to shame. But, you know, she's doing very well. A lot of the girls from the Fierce Five that won the gold medal in 2012 are training on the comeback path. And so it'll be really exciting to see what happens in the next 2 years.
Well, Nastya Lukin, thank you for stopping
by.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. It was nice talking to you.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.